First John, chapter number 2, the book of First John, in chapter number 2. I want to read the first six verses found here in John, First John, chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I want to stop right here and say I'm glad I have an advocate. Who is that advocate? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that makes me clean. I'm in Him and He's in me tonight. And I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. If I did, I'd take the Son of God there with me. And I know Jesus is not going to hell because He abides in me and I'm in Him. The Bible said He is our propitiation. I want to stop right there and tell you what that means. He's our payment. He's everything that we needed to be. It satisfied God to send Him to the cross. The root word of that word propitiation is the word pitch. Y'all remember the story of Noah? Y'all remember what Noah did? He built a great big old boat, didn't he? An ark. And the Bible said He did one thing. He said He pitched it within and without. That word pitch was to keep things from the outside from coming in on the inside. Keep that water from the outside of the boat coming on in the inside of the boat. You know what Jesus did? He kept me from hell. You know what He did it through? Through His precious blood. And He's my propitiation tonight. He satisfied God on the cross of Calvary for my sins and not, and read this, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He died for the whole world. The Bible said in verse number 3, "And hereby do we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him." And I want to take my verse, my lesson, and my thought tonight out of verse number 6. It says this, "He that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." He that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Let us pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this night, Lord. I thank You for this crowd on Wednesday night, Lord. I thank You for my church home, my church family, Lord. Lord, I thank You set the members as pleased You, Lord. Lord, I need Your help tonight, Lord. I pray, dear God, You'd touch Your word. Touch me, Lord. Let me not say anything that's unpleasing in Your sight and in Your ears, Lord. Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do. Take this word and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to preach on tonight this thought, abiding in Christ. You see, we think when we got saved, something supernatural happened. You know what happened? Christ came and lived inside of me. You say, well, that's a big thing. It is. I don't got it all worked out yet. But when Christ saved me, He came to live in my heart. And then from that on, He became a resident inside of me. I'll take Jesus everywhere I go from that point on. Everywhere I take Him in, I may take Him into sin. I may take Him into other places. But you know what? He'll still be with me. The word abide is a strong word. You see, we're trying to abide in Christ, but much bigger than that, He's abiding in us. And I want to say tonight that Christ is, when He came to live in my heart, He did something for me and He changed me. One of the strongest verses I've ever read in the Bible about walking toward Jesus is this: "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself so to walk, even as He walked." As we go through our Christian walk and as we grow in Christ, the Bible said we should grow up into Him in all things. We should abide in Christ. It means to live. It means to stay. It means to take up permanent residence. It means also to be present, remain, stand, tarry, accept, or in accordance to. There ought to be something in our walk that people should see. We're abiding in Christ. That would make us look even as Jesus looked. You say, well, how do you do that? Y'all remember John the Baptist? He was down in prison, and he didn't even know if Christ was he said if it even be the Christ, go get him. If it even is see if he is the Christ. And he'd done everything. They thought that Herod thought that killing John the Baptist was killing Jesus, because John so looked like Jesus, because his walk mimicked everything that Jesus did. So Herod could not even tell the difference in John and Jesus. That's my prayer in life, that people would look so much at me and think that I was even being even close to him. I'm not there. But that's my prayer in life, to grow in the Lord and to abide in Christ so much that as people were to see you or to see me, that we would walk so much like Christ that they say, he's a disciple of Jesus just by the way you walk. He that saith that he abideth in him ought himself so to walk even as he walked. This is one of the strongest verses I've ever seen in the Bible. John chapter number 15 and verse number 1 says it this way. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Here it is, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You say, why should I live for Christ? Why should I walk for Christ? Why should I mind the things of Christ? Why should I follow after His commandments? Why should I do the things that Christ has commanded me to do? He said it there in John chapter number 15. See, He didn't save you just so you'd sit here. He said, come, and you got saved. Let me tell you what He's saying now. Go forth. Go forth. And people all around you are watching you, and they're watching how you react to things and what you're going to do and what I'm going to do. You see, I have trouble myself. I'll admit that tonight. And I tell you what, it's important how we walk, because I want to be just like John was. When they look at something I've done, I want to say it's something that Jesus would have done. Abiding in Christ. Verses 4 through 5 is a profession based on confession. It says, I know Him. In those verses. Verses 6 through 8 said, I abide in Him. The rest of the chapter is this, I live in Him. Tonight I want to give you four quick things tonight about abiding in Christ. I want to say this before I get into it. You'll notice the writer of the book of 1 John. Who is it? It's the Apostle John, isn't it? Where was he? If anybody could teach us about abiding in Christ, it would be the Apostle John. You say, why? Every time you saw John in the Bible, you know what he was doing? He was snuggled up on the bosom of Jesus. He was listening to the very heartbeat of God. He knew what God, he wanted to see what was the closest thing to God's heart. And he wanted to hear it first, I believe. He'd listen in. He'd say, I want to hear the heartbeat of God. And then I think of old Peter's ministry. Peter had a ministry preaching to thousands. And Jesus used them differently, even though each one of them had a different ministry. The book of 1 John was written, it said, somebody said it this way, John had a senior's home, and he had a children's ministry, and Peter was off preaching to thousands, each one having their own ministry, and each one having their own importance. Even Christ Himself, when He's on the cross, He cried out and said, Behold thy mother. And John, it said He took His mother up, Jesus' mother, and took Him home with her and gave her a place to stay, because John was faithful to the work. He may not have been preaching for thousands. He may not have been doing things for a thousand, but he was faithful in that what Christ had given him to do, because he was faithful in abiding in Christ. And He's given us some words here. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself so to walk even as he walked. I want to see, first of all, you'll see there be a devotion to the Word. Look down in verse number 3. It said, And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. Devotion to His word. I want to say, first of all, he had an affection toward his faith. John was a man that wanted to listen to the heartbeat of God. I want to challenge you tonight, would you be faithful enough to abide in Him that you could hear the actual heartbeat of God when He were to speak to you? An old preacher man put it this way. He said, when you get a long ways from that old radio tower and that station starts crackling and popping, you've got too far. Well, the same way with God. Sometimes we get so far out there, we can't even hear what God's got to say to us because we're so busy and we got things, we're thinking of other things. We're not thinking of the things of Christ. We don't devote ourselves to the Word. We don't devote our time to what is important in life. You see, Brother Joe said it this way. He said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And that's what he's done to America tonight. We're so busy doing other things, and I admit to it myself, we're so busy, we think this thing is more important. But let me say this tonight. There's nothing more important than Christ Himself. He said in all things that He would have the preeminence. John said, I want to walk like Christ walked, and I want to abide in Him. I want to challenge you tonight to abide in Him, but I have to say this, you'll have to devote yourself to the Word. You see, he had an affection toward God. He wanted to listen to God. He wanted to see what God had to say to him. He had an affection to what God would have him to do. One writer said this, he said, affection toward God is always revealed in our submission to God. Our affection toward God is always revealed in our submission to God. You see, there's been things that God is, that if I wasn't close to God, there's some things I wouldn't do for Him. But there's some things if I was close to Him and I would submit to Him because I was listening to what He said to me. There's been time God has put me on the scene. Can I get a witness right there? He's put me on the scene. See, give me my own little test to see if I'd be submitting to Him. Just this week, there was a man. He came in as a salesman, and he wanted, and he took me out to eat. And I said, "Well, let's pray." It was a little test. See if I'd pray with that salesman. You know why? I want him to know that I love God. He that saith it abideth in me ought himself so to walk even as he walked. Devotion to the Word. He had an affection. Not only did he have an affection to his faith. I want to say this. Look, secondly, you'll see an acceptance of facts. Verse number 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth his commandments, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You say, what does it mean? I heard a story of a preacher one time. This is what he said. A young preacher went to pick up this older preacher in the airport, and that made him scared already. He picked him up, and a lot of y'all would know if I called their names who it was. Y'all know who they were. And he picked him up, and he said, he didn't know what to say to the old preacher man. And he was trying to break the ice, and he was trying to give him, you know, just try to say something that he could get the old man of God to speak to him. And he said this. He said, brother, do you love God? Not knowing what to expect back from the old preacher. And the old preacher man said, well, I don't know. He said, and it startled the young preacher because he didn't know. The old preacher man said, I don't know if I really love God. That would startle me a little bit too. He said, son, the Bible says if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I say we're all guilty of some of all that ourselves. But he had an acceptance of facts. You see, everybody, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 13. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 24. Jesus was speaking a parable to his disciples. And he said this in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24. He said, another parable put he forth on them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in a field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The devil's at his work. He's sowing tares among the wheat in America. He's sowing tares among the wheat in the church house. It says, But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence that then hath it tares? He said unto them, as the enemy hath done this, the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? But he said, nay. That's why you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. He said this, let them grow together. into the harvest. And then I say, in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You say, why did you read that? It's acceptance of facts. There's people that are have grown into this thing and they're not really saved. And God has sown tares. Their devil has sown tares among the wheat. But let me say this. God loves the wheat so much that He would not root up the tares that are among us because it would be devastating to the wheat. Think about that. As a farmer goes out to pull up everything in it, I remember when we was young, we grew up on a farm. We had some baskets out back. It reminded me of it because those two baskets that they had out there for the camp meeting is the two baskets that I had to shell peas out of every Saturday morning in the summertime. Every Saturday morning when I got up, there'd be two basketfuls of those peas waiting for me to shell out there. But look back on that and what we used to do when we would grow things, we wouldn't go in there and just tear everything up. You know why? Because we'd root up our crops. We'd clean out around it. But with the things that was real close to it, we'd leave it alone. We'd let that stuff that even was uncomely and unsightly, we'd let it grow up beside it because we might tear up our crops. That's the same thing God's talking about here, an acceptance of facts. If you look in 1 John, go back to our text in verse number 19. This is what John said. He said this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Acceptance of facts. You say, what do you mean? Let me say it this way. How many of y'all remember Judas as Iscariot? We all know who he was. You know who he was? He was one of the closest ones to Christ. But he was so far from Christ. You know why? Jesus praying in the garden. And the Bible said he was praying in agony as if it were his sweat became as great drops of blood. And Judas, when he betrayed Christ himself, came up to him and he kissed him on the cheek is what the Bible said. And I just began to think at one time, I said, as Jesus prayed and it was as great sweat drops of blood down his face and he came up and kissed the very Christ that he had that blood on him. And he was so close to where he needed to be. But he did not have the blood in him. He never got saved. And Judas, you'll see him, he'll be in hell one day because he never accepted Christ. You see, it's acceptance of facts. Why? We should abide in Christ. We should do the things of Christ. Not only you see it's acceptance of facts, it also is an attainment of fulfillment. Look in verse number 5. He said, but whosoever keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. You want to know your devotion to the Word, you know what it'll do? It'll make the love of God perfected in you. It'll make you love people that you really wouldn't love. It'll make you do things that you never would have done. It'll make you love the unlovable. And some of you have got our halos turned way up tonight. But let me tell you what, there's been times when I wasn't unlovable. But let me tell you what, Christ looked past that. I remember Brother Carl preaching that message the night. He said, even when he don't. I want to preach one day and say, even when we don't. You see, even though we're not faithful, God remains faithful. And He abideth faithful. Why? Because we're in Him and He's in us. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this with me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. In another place, he said, who daily loadeth us with benefits. You see, even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. And the love of God can be perfected in us if we'll devote ourselves to His Word. Abiding in Christ. Not only devotion to His Word, I want to say development of His walk. I want to say, first of all, He had a confessed walk. He that saith. This thing walking with Jesus is more than a cross around our neck. It's more than a bumper sticker on your car. It's more than a sign up in your yard. It's more than a cross on your neck. You see, it's a confessed walk. He that saith. You see, everywhere we go, we ought to be, people ought to see our walk and what we're talking about and what we're doing. And Christ ought to be coming out of us everywhere we are at. No matter if we're at the golf course, the boat ramp, down at Walmart, and somebody's done got you a parking spot. And they didn't beat you to the dress that you wanted to wear to church. We all still should be Christ-like. A development of our walk. It was a confessed walk. Not only was it a confessed walk, I want to say it was a conform walk. It said, ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. It's a conform walk. You see, we're growing up into Christ into all things. No matter when people are hateful to us, no matter when they're spiteful to us, you know what we ought to do? We ought to have a conform walk and do what Jesus would do. Not only that, it was conditioned walk. Kind of what Brother Mike was saying earlier in the service. You better have yourself a conditioned walk. Why? Because we're walking through strong winds. I hate to burst your bubble, but we're fixing to walk through some deserts, and we're fixing to walk through some strong winds, and we better have a conditioned walk. You say, how am I going to grow? You're going to grow in His Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad you're here on a Wednesday night. You know what you're doing? You're conditioning your walk. Each time you step in these doors of this church, you're conditioning your walk. Each time your pastor preaches to you, or somebody teaches Sunday school, or you hear something, some song that's reaching down in your heart, you know what it's doing? It's conditioning you. I remember when we was young and we lifted weights. And you tell I ain't done that in a while. But they taught us something. They taught us about muscles and how to make our muscles grow. They taught us how to condition ourselves. You know, when people... football is real big this time of year. And those football players, you know what they did? They just didn't walk out on that field Friday night and began to start play. You know what they did? They conditioned themselves. In the summer, they was out there lifting weights when everybody else was asleep, morning and night. They was out in the hot sun running miles or doing their drills or doing whatever they do. You know what they're doing? They're conditioning themselves. We ought to be the same, and as we walk with Jesus, we ought to condition ourselves to be able to take strong winds, to take these deserts that God has ordained for us in our time. You say, God has ordained it. Yes, He sets those up and He takes those down. He knows who will be president of the United States. It's not going to catch Him by surprise. Don't think He's up there wringing His hand saying, I don't know who's going to make it. He sets them up and He takes them down. He wants you to know you'd better have a conditioned walk. John had a conditioned walk. Development of his walk. Not only that, thirdly, you'll see dedication of his way. Turn over to verse number 8. It said this in verse number 8. It said, and again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Talking about dedication of his way. I want to say it's a way of a birth life. You see, I got in this thing because God saved me. It wasn't nothing I did. All I did was accept Christ. He called on me. I remember just like it was yesterday, God, as if he pulled the top off that church and shined a light down in me that day I got saved. You say, how do you know you got saved? It changed everything about me. I'll be honest with you. You say, was you a drunk? No, I wasn't a drunk. But I tell you what, God has a way of making you the chief of sinners tonight. It don't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it. He knows how to make you the chief of sinners. Why? Because He shines that light down on you. And He'll make you... I remember one time describing it this way. Imagine you having this nice, shiny car. And I tell you about a nice, shiny car. If you let me wash that car one time, I can tell you everything that's wrong with it. I can tell you every scratch. I can tell you every dent. I can look up under and tell you what's wrong with it if you'll let me wash it. Why? Because I'm up close to it. Let me tell you what, if you'll get up close to Christ, you know what He'll do? He'll tell you everything that's wrong with you. And He'll begin to take you and develop you and condition you in your walk. And you got the way of a birth life, a dedication to His way. You see, His ways are not our ways. It's a way of light. Not only that, it's a way of brotherly love. Look in verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. It's a way of brotherly love. Matthew said it this way. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. He said this, Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath an ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to love our brother. I've heard this said before. Somebody said, I want him to go to heaven. I just don't want him to go to church with me. It's not showing brotherly love. I want him to go to heaven, but I don't want to go to church with him. It's not the way of brotherly love. You see, remember what I said, if we devote ourselves to the Word, He'll make you love people that are unlovable. A lot of times that you look down this way and you might figure out who's unlovable. It might be yourself. A lot of times I find myself in that same situation. It's a way of brotherly love. Not only that, it's a way of battle lust. Look what he said in verse number 15. He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God does what? Abideth forever. Let me tell you what, it's a way of battle lust. How are you going to beat those lusts? Brother Robbie preached it the other night. How are you going to defeat those temptations? You're going to defeat it with the Word. You're going to defeat it with it. Fall in the snare of the devil. And then lastly, I'll close with this thought right here. How are we going to abide in Christ? We're going to have to be devoted to His Word. We're going to have to be developed to His walk, dedicated to His way. But I want to say it's a determination of His will. What did Jesus cry on the cross? He said, not my will, but thine be done. You say, how are you going to do that? I want to say this. You're going to have to continue. You say, continue. You started in this thing running the race right. Why not continue in this thing and run it right to the end? You see, it does matter how you run the race. I read of a story of a missionary. It's found in a book called Through Gates of Splendor. And it's a story about five men who wanted to reach a people that did not love them. It was one of the guys' name was Nate Saint, and he was an airplane pilot. And he flew over an area, and God had called him to that area. It was in eastern Ecuador. And as he flew over that, God would call him those people as the Alca Indians. And those people were a hateful people. Those people were a tribe of the Stone Age. Those people hated their own people, and they hated anybody that would come into their own territory. Nate Saint and Jim Elliott would take over that area and become missionaries, and they'd fly over it, and they'd drop down supplies to those people and tell them that they love them. This is in middle 1950s, 1956. And they dropped that stuff down. You say, what happened to them? Did they reach those Alki Indians? They landed their plane, got out, and a couple of them come up to meet them. Within two or 3 days, those Alki Indians had killed all five of those men. You say, what? Why did you say continue? Let me tell you what happened. His wife, Jim Elliott's wife, Elizabeth Elliott, wrote a book, Through Gates of Splendor. It's so entailed into their daughter, Betty Elliott, and Nate Saint's daughter, that they went back and tried to reach those Indians. You know what they did? They continued in the faith that their daddy had left them. You know what they were able to do? They were able to do what their daddy had set out to do. They was able to reach out to those Alki Indians, and many of them got saved because they continued in the faith. Those daughters had, they could have said, my daddy got killed. I'm never going to serve God, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to continue to serve God because my daddy served God. And they continued in the faith. They was dedicated to His will. No matter what it took, they was going to do what God had called them to do. And they was able to reach those Alki Indians and share the gospel of Christ with them. Continue. Not only that, compel. We should be compelling others. The day of the Lord is hand. And then lastly, we should have confidence. You say, why do you say confidence? Look down at verse number 28. He said, now, little children, what is it? Abide in Him. That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You know what we want to do? We want to get on the bus right. We want to get up with our head held high. You say, how am I going to do that? You're going to have to abide in Christ. You're going to have to walk with Christ. You've got to conform yourself to Christ. And let me tell you what, I will not say it's easy. A lot of people say it's easy. Let me tell you what, I've got enough of me inside of here that it's a hard job. It's a battle each and every day. And I tell you what, I battle myself more than I do anything else. I don't have a battle with my brother or my sister. I have a battle with myself. Goes back to what we've read in verses 15 through 17, a determination of His will. I was reading after one man. This is what he said. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. And if we can do that, let me tell you what God's done. We've got a great responsibility God's given us with. I thank Him for placing me in this ministry, and I know the responsibility of the ministry. I thank Him for what He's done for me in my life, but I want to be more conformed to Him each and every day. That guy that I met with, I told you the vendor that came in and wanted to have lunch. I told him, sometimes in my job I feel this way. I said, I start here and I do full circle back, and I'm further back than what I started at. And I said, how do I get from here to here? It's the same way in the Christian life. Sometimes you start here and you go back. But let me tell you what, don't stay back. Have you a goal set out in front of you? You know what that goal is? That goal is Christ. And He can tell you how to get from way up here to way further than what you were if we'll abide in Him. I'm glad He abides in us and we are in Him. I thank you for your attention tonight.